and good morning. This is Common Ground Radio, downtown Redding, California, KCNR. And we got a very, very special guest this morning, but I'm going to let RV do the intro on that. Before we go there, though, I want to introduce, for those who don't know, Storm King. Storm is the miracle behind social media for Common Ground Radio and a lot of other stuff, too. But Storm, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Christian. If any of you in the listening audience would like to participate in this Common Ground movement, we have a Common Ground Radio Facebook page where you can like it and put notifications on. And every week you will see what is going to be planned for that week's show. If you want to get really involved and suggest topics for future shows, you can join the Facebook Common Ground Radio group and participate in the discussion there about what shows we should do in the future and what occurred on the shows as they go by.
Perfect. And Storm King is our master of the phone. So call in, folks. We need your phone calls, and this is the opportunity to ask a couple of questions of a very special guest. And with that said, RV.
Thank you, Christian. Good morning, everybody. Shasta County, Northern California. You're listening to Common Ground Radio, as we said, coming to you from the cozy confines of the KCNR studio in the new downtown Redding. We're at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM on your radio dial. Our studio call-in number is 530-605-4567. RV Scheid here with my host, Christian Garnet. Today, we welcome a very special guest, as Christian mentioned, Shasta County District 3 Supervisor Mary Rickert. With degrees in agriculture, business, and psychology, Supervisor Rickert brings a formidable skill set to the position, and after 5 years on the job, she's shown she has what it takes to fulfill her duties as a county supervisor. I should mention that I live 30 miles east of Redding and Whitmore, which is in District 3. Rickert's my supervisor, and I'm thoroughly impressed that she occasionally shows up at our fire safe council meetings at 7 to 9 p.m. at night in the middle of nowhere. That's what the job demands, and she's shown that she's willing to do it. So why has this hard-working conservative Republican supervisor been targeted for recall by Red, White, and Blueprint, Recall Shasta, and a ragtag band of what can only be called right-wing neo-fascists hell-bent on ousting three democratically elected representatives of county government? To explain that, we have to talk about the big lie. First elucidated by Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf, then carried out by his minister of propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, when the Nazis came to power in the 1930s, the big lie is one of the most important instruments in the would-be fascist toolkit. The bigger the lie, the better. The more often it is told, the better yet. Here in the United States, former President Donald Trump has employed the big lie to claim, with zero evidence, that he won the 2020 president election. Not current President Joe Biden. It's a brazen attempt by Trump to keep his base frothing at the mouth in order to slither back into the Oval Office, if not this August, then in 2024. Here in Shasta County, the recall movement, authoritarians to the core, don't believe in law and order, don't believe in democracy, science, or modern medicine. You don't like it? Hit the road, Jack. That's what they'll tell you. What is the recall movement's big lie? They claim that Supervisors Rickert, Leonard Modi, and Joe Kameny caved to the tyrannical whims of Governor Gavin Newsom during the COVID-19 pandemic and therefore betrayed their constituents. They also claim, with zero evidence, that the three supervisors have been fiscally irresponsible. This is all totally false. In fact, as listeners are about to find out, Rickert, Modi, and Kameny were instrumental in convincing state officials to grant Shasta County leniency, permitting the county to remain in the red tier, even though it was well into the purple tier at the time. As Supervisor Rickert said to the Record Searchlight, after state Health and Human Services Secretary Dr. Mark Gailey made the decision in last October, "Be assured, the Supervisor Modi and I really did press the Secretary hard in terms of Shasta County keeping their numbers down and that we have certain factions of the population that want to open. We are open to the maximum amount to the extent we can be in California." In other words, it's the exact opposite of what the recall movement claims. Supervisor Rickert, welcome to Common Ground Radio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I know in addition to being a supervisor, you and your husband live in MacArthur and own and operate Western Agriculture Services and are principals in Prather Ranch. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Prather?
Yes, you did.
When we were talking recently, you mentioned fire issues on some of your northern properties, and I wondered if you could give us an update.
Yes, we just experienced the loss of about 500 acres on our Prather Ranch headquarters in Siskiyou County.
Wow.
And we lost about 500 acres. And this particular field we had planned on saving for fall feed. For those of us that are in the cattle ranching business or in farming in general, this year, this drought is an extremely severe drought, and we are just now beginning to see the impacts of it, but I think by September, October, we're going to really be suffering. And one thing I could spend probably your entire show talking about is my concerns about the food supply. I think people need to seriously realize that there's a shortage of water in California, and we are a major food producer. I was on a meeting with the Northern California Water Association board last year. I serve on that board representing Shasta County. And there were several farmers and water district managers that shared stories of the shortage of water, their pumps are not running efficiently, and it takes twice as much water to irrigate crops such as tomatoes and sunflowers, and it takes twice as long. So we're in serious, dire straits in California.
Has anybody mentioned any kind of numbers of what kind of agricultural decline we might be looking at?
No one knows, because we don't know how severe this impact is going to kind of play out. We don't know how many wells are going to go dry, and we don't know what next year brings. That's the thing. People don't realize when you're in farming and ranching, you're extremely dependent on Mother Nature, and you're extremely dependent on the variations in the weather patterns. And so it's a pretty much a gamble. I know oftentimes I get accused of being a socialist and a whatever and a whatever. But the fact of the matter is, you couldn't find a more strong capitalist in Shasta County than my husband and I. And, we've been in the private sector our entire life, and if anybody deals with regulations, we do as agriculturalists. And it's difficult, and we're tied to the land. My husband is very, he's now a part owner in a ranch out of Bella Vista that has been in his family for many, many generations. And so there's no way he'll ever leave that.
They have bad water issues over there.
They do. And we have Cow Creek running through the property, and the fluctuations. I was talking to the gentleman that works for us that lives there, and he just said our water usage is down, way down, and we need the water to irrigate to feed the cattle. It's a tough year, and it's just beginning. We're really going to see a lot of bad things happening.
Well, let's switch to a cheerier subject, the recall.
Oh, sure. Well, I think everybody has the opportunity to express their opinions, and I fully support that. But personally, I feel that it's a waste of money, $640,000 that we could use in a lot of different areas, especially another fire engine or, hire a few more deputies, that kind of thing. We all have our wish list.
Here's something that's on my wish list, and you got to actually do it recently in a board meeting. You got to tell, Fifth District Supervisor Les Baugh that you were tired of his BS. How did that feel, and what has it been like working with a supervisor who apparently doesn't believe in modern medicine?
Well,
during a pandemic,
it's been challenging, and I basically, I apologize. I don't normally talk like that, but I was talking to some of my siblings. I just had a birthday a couple of days ago, and we all got together on a Zoom meeting, and they were discussing about a time when I was, 4 or 5 years old, and I got stuck out in the corrals with my shoes in muddy manure. And I did share with them my story. And I said, if anybody's qualified to use that word, it would be me. So, because I am totally familiar what it looks like, smells like, and I had a real problem with, several statements that Mr. Baugh gave that day, because I don't understand when he said that that Vasenko was afraid of Leonard Modi. When we had the hat fire in up in Fall River Mills, which was during the car fire,
that was a bad one. Yeah.
We had Glenburn Road closed, and those most people aren't familiar with the geographics up there. But my husband and I had to go. We went through the county had a boundary, you know, where they didn't let people in, but people were going in anyway because they weren't law enforcement stopping people. And we had the power out for several days, and our water troughs were dry. So we had 100 pair, which means we had 100 cows and 100 calves, and they didn't have any water. So all we did was go in, open up a gate, and let them have access to the Fall River so they could get water, which is the appropriate thing to do. You don't want cattle without water breaking down fences and running amok, so to speak. So anyway, I called Tom Basinko and asked him, you know, the fire's been out for 24 hours and people are going into their homes to put gasoline in their generators. And he just blew up at me and just said, if I was up there, I'd cite those people and I'd throw them in jail. And so it just seemed incongruent when Les Baugh was reading his statement. It was a totally different story. And that wasn't the first time he had blown up at me over things like that. So basically, I don't understand that. And that was one of the reasons I had such a strong reaction.
You know, you didn't do anything wrong. Listen, well, Mary,
normally talk like that.
Well, but I can vouch for RV, he does.
All right.
And so, you know, I'm just so confused, Mary. I really am. We've got this, what I call RWBM, Militia State of Jefferson Recall Movement, and it's just making mockery. You know, I've been to a few supervisors' meetings. I can't believe it. I mean, uncivil, vile, disgusting, sordid, potty mouth, too greater behavior, even directed directly at you at times.
Yes, absolutely.
It just, I'm going, wait a minute, are we living in the United States? Are these people? At first, Mary, I was concerned. I was going, listen, gosh, because of my mental health condition, I'm going, is there a problem here? I mean, are these people safe? I mean, do they need some help? You know, are they hurting?
Well, you know, I would like to see people. But self-awareness is a really healthy. You're in the psychology field, but self-awareness is really important, and we all need to be self-aware. And so, I wish there wasn't so much anger, and I wish that we could have constructive dialogue with each other. And I did try and communicate with several people at different times, and then oftentimes they'd come back and use what I had emailed back to them and twist the words. And so, you know, I really think that in lots of ways we've been dehumanized.
Yeah.
And I find that unfortunate. Our positions as supervisors, we're nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. And I don't look at us as Republicans and Democrats or independents or whatever. I look at it as all residents of Shasta County, and the decisions I make are for the greater good. I'm not going to please everybody. It's impossible to please everybody. You know, sometimes you can get 30 people and not everyone's going to agree that the sun's shining today. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of, you just can't please everybody.
Well, all I want to say is that the Board of Supervisors, you folks, mm-hmm. Have been so tolerant and trying to be as polite and civil as possible during this onslaught of ridiculousness.
Well, you know, I'm a Catholic, and I take my spirituality very seriously, and I pray every day before I go into the board meetings that the Holy Spirit guides me. And one thing that is difficult for me, and I will admit, is that some people come in and quote scripture to us, and all I can think of is, what did Jesus preach? He preached love, forgiveness, and peace.
Compassion.
And what did Jesus do? He healed the sick and he raised the dead. He wants us to be healthy. And so that's my message, and that's the way I see it. From my scriptural readings that I do on a daily basis, that's what I see. And so I will continue to follow the path of what my interpretation of what Jesus wants us to do.
Thank you for keeping the faith. RV?
when he was campaigning for 4th District Supervisor last year, Patrick Jones said that Shasta County could remove itself from the state tier system, and if the state retaliated by withholding funds from us, we could just withhold property taxes and sales taxes from the state, which, as the Record Searchlight points out, is not how it works.
Correct.
I'm curious, because I've heard this about Mr. Jones from several other people that know him. He does not seem to know how government works. What is your opinion about that?
I actually, if anyone listened to the last board meeting, I recommended that he contact, he had voted no on a few, I think it was, had to do with RESPAD, mm-hmm. funding of RESPAD, and you and I talked about RESPAD because I was on the committee to get that established many years ago. And I pointed that out to him, that I have a history and understanding of as to what services they provide and how imperative it is that we have a local facility for people. It, you know, Christian, you know, as someone who works in that field, that when a person has their family close by, they're going to stabilize sooner, and then it saves money. And that's the key component here, is that I don't think he understands that these programs are so important to implement and continue to develop and expand, because the more people that get treatment, the more money the county saves. Mm-hmm. There's an older figure that Kristen Schroeder shared with me a few years ago. They came up, did a study, and it's roughly $64,000 for a person who's homeless, lives on the streets, mm-hmm. that it costs to the taxpayer. Basically, that's the figure that they came up with. I think it's more now. And so if we could get people stabilized and in treatment, that's going to save the county a lot of money. And plus, it's the humane thing to do. So yeah, to me, there's absolutely no argument to not vote in favor of these programs.
Mary, and just real quick, here's my thing, is that I think this group, this radicalized right, they're more concerned about being cruel. Honestly, and they might even say, "Listen, we got to be cruel to because we love you," and I think that's malarkey. I think it's baloney. No, we don't need to beat our kids more with more belts. We don't need to do any of that stuff. We need to be compassionate, and not only that, as you pointed out, we're going to save money.
Yes.
And restore lives and maybe start breaking that cycle.
Exactly. Right. As you and I know, ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, a huge issue in Shasta County. Our ACEs scores are off the charts.
Yes.
And so how do we mitigate the impact from that problem in our county? We work with people and we try and basically break the cycle.
We don't close the programs down, lay off all the staff, and put the people out on the street.
Exactly. That's going to exacerbate the problem. It's going to make it much worse.
Yeah.
And that's a direct, I mean, you could find study after study that will back that total concept. You cannot basically reject these programs without having consequences.
I get kind of confused sometimes because these issues have been going on for so long, and I know that we have addressed it to a certain extent. How close are we to, like, actually dealing with the problem?
Well, I wish I could spend more time on it.
Mm-hmm. We ought to have Hill Country Clinic, and we ought to have Darnell maybe.
Yes. Well, I would suggest that you have them here. They're the experts.
Yes.
But, yes, it's just... And I like Donnell. I think he's been great for Shasta County. I think any other county would snatch him up in a heartbeat. But we need to be sure that we treat him right too.
Yes,
he's done an excellent job. He helped us navigate through the pandemic. Not to say we're not going to have, you know, this new variant come in.
It's not over.
It's not over. I mean, but. You know, it's really important that we really look at these issues, and ignoring them and rejecting them is not the answer. And it's been proven over and over and again that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk a little bit about your work addressing the pandemic on sort of two faces. One, you, Modi, and Chimeni, or Kameni, mm-hmm. And what was it like negotiating with the state? And then the second part of the question is, how did you work with Dr. Karen Ranstrom in public health here?
Well, I thought we had a fairly good coordinated effort. I feel, and Leonard Modi is on CSAC. He's California State Association of Counties. And he's very highly regarded. He's very well connected in Sacramento and has the respect of many people down there. I've done a lot of work. I served on a state board at one point, and I know a lot of people in Sacramento myself. And Leonard is very highly regarded. And he's one of our best assets as supervisors because he has those connections. And he, as you mentioned earlier, he was able to keep us in the red tier when technically we should have been in the purple tier. Not every supervisor could pull that off. And so instead of these attacks, people should be thanking him. The other thing is, quite honestly, we just had we were very clear working with Karen and Donnell that we wanted to educate the public. We weren't there to punish or to, basically go after, but we wanted to educate businesses so that they understood what steps they needed to take to keep people healthy and safe as much as possible. And, we had, last December, we had an outbreak in the administration building where basically most people had to work from home because we had so many cases.
That's right around when it really started peaking.
It really did. It started what I consider after Halloween and then into November and then December. And we didn't know how bad it was going to get. And the other thing is that's really important is we can't overtax and overload our healthcare system here. Other hospitals, I have a brother in Kings County, and he would call me almost daily, and, their hospitals were full. They had zero beds, and so I knew how scary it could be, and it was something that we're here to protect the people. We're here to be concerned about their health care and their well-being. And I think that was our utmost priority is what do we do? And it is a fine line. We're not going to make everyone happy, but we wanted to safeguard the health and well-being of the residents of Shasta County as much as we could.
Which is difficult to do when you have people saying vaccines are a hoax. Vaccines are a communist socialist plot to control the population. I'm going to say it. Doug LaMotta said there is no vaccine for COVID-19. And when you're dealing with that faction while trying to keep people safe, and on the other side, me, I came and asked, listen, we need to start citing people who are blatantly violating law on purpose, like coming up to you in the grocery store, standing right next to you, and smiling because you have a mask on, and going, what are you going to do about it, buddy? So the needle you were trying to thread to keep us safe and yet keep the public and the economy viable, difficult.
It was an impossible situation for us. And you've got to realize you're talking to a cattle rancher. We vaccinate our cattle for variations of coronavirus. See, it looks, you can read it right on the bottle of vaccine. So I personally had no problem. Vaccinating our herd is really important to safeguard for health purposes. And so I guess that's where I was coming from because vaccinations do work.
Yes,
you're going to have some reactions, but you're going to have a lot more deaths. I lost friends to this, people that were younger than I am. I went to their memorial services. I watched their grandchildren cry. And I think about those grandchildren to this day, knowing a 64-year-old grandmother that had another 20, 25 years of life is gone. And those grandchildren will never have another Christmas with her, another birthday. She'll miss their graduations. So I watched it firsthand what it can do.
And this could have been avoidable. Could have been.
It could have been.
Vaccines have proven to be very effective, and so is social distancing, and so is masking. And by the way, I just saw the news this morning. We're going the wrong way, and we're going like...
Yes, we are.
In a radical way.
New variant is very, very contagious.
That was local news or national?
National.
Okay.
And local, but I do have stats local. I mean, what we're talking about.
Where are we at on vaccination?
Yeah.
32% in Shasta County the last time I heard fully vaccinated.
And that's not good enough. You know, we've had 12,800 people get sick. We've had 240 people die. And we're talking about two people that died last week. We're talking about 87 people that got sick last week.
Yikes.
We're talking about influxing our healthcare system, which has been tenuous to begin with.
Sure.
And if we don't do something, those numbers are just going to go up.
I'm kind of upset that public health took the daily update off the front page.
I really enjoyed, not enjoyed, that's not the right word.
Right.
I appreciated being informed on a daily basis, yes.
It's still there. You have to go back a couple layers to find it.
But I realize that they're trying to cut back on costs and you know, try to balance out spending. And,
right.
Yeah. And I would imagine that if we do continue to see increases with this variant, we will probably go back to something similar to what we were doing in the past.
Well,
we've got to do something. I mean, is it logical to let somebody drive around drunk?
Yeah, or correct.
Yeah.
Or not wear a seatbelt.
Especially alcohol can kill, and COVID has been proven a very effective killer at over 600,000 people in our country.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
We're
going to have to take a break here real
sure.
quick, and then RV will come back in and take us into the second half of the hour. Call in, folks. This is your opportunity, and we'll be back in what? We're going to be back about
the number
minutes.
Is 530-605-4567.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit. My family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
And we're back, and we're just going to go ahead and jump in. RV, what's next here?
Well, let's switch gears a little bit. I'm still sort of about the recall. The RW&B's docuseries has been sort of heavily imbued with, like, Western motifs, ranch life. It's sort of like they want to, they're like cowboys and stuff. And but you're actually a real rancher. And one of the things I thought was really interesting in one of her little spiels, Alyssa McEwen, went after you for supporting 4-H. And it's like, you know, the RW&B, they're selling this idea that culture is disappearing. And I think that that's actually true. And I wanted to ask you about that and what we can do to sort of preserve our ranching and agriculture culture?
Well, first of all, I come from an extremely strong agricultural background. And to give you a little history, in 1929, my grandfather started the Future Farmers of America in California.
Wow.
And so, and in 1969, I was the first and only female to show at Cal Palace and State Fair when girls were officially into FFA, when I lobbied to get girls. There was a handful of us that lobbied at the state convention.
What did you show?
Holsteins. I still have Holsteins in one of my brother's dairies to this day. I grew up around cattle. As a matter of fact, one of my siblings was saying to me the other day, he says, the only memory I have of you is either leading cattle, washing cattle, showing cattle. He says, that's all I can remember. I didn't go to my high school prom because it was state finals judging at Cal Poly. And then, anyway, my grandfather started the FFA program, and then in 1933, he took over. They were going to close the doors. He took over Cal Poly and was president of Cal Poly for 33 years and started Cal Poly Pomona. And, of course, there were real strong agricultural programs there, too. So, and then my father very much involved in the State Department of Education, and I had a brother that was the director of the California Ag Leadership Program. I could go on and on. And then I have a brother that's an agricultural attorney. So I have tremendous connections up and down the state agriculturally. As a matter of fact, the Secretary of Ag called me the other day on some issues in Siskiyou County. So I do have those connections. And that's what I was able to access when it came time for us to be able to have the Anderson District Fair in 2020. We were the template. We were the first local fair that was able to exist, where the kids were able to show and able to sell. And it was a struggle, trust me. Mm-hmm. CDFA was really nervous. During the pandemic. But we were able to get that pulled off. But I wanted to give you some background so you understood my passion for 4-H and FFA. I was a 4-H member and an FFA member. And there's no greater Boy Scouts is great and a lot of great, but it's one of the very best programs for kids in developing leadership skills, developing a work ethic, and developing self-confidence. So I am a strong proponent of that. And you know, as far as there's real cowboys and then there's then there's something else. And so, you know, I challenge some of these gentlemen to go out and spend a day with some of our cowboys. They have to start at 5 in the morning, and they'll probably wander into the house at 7 at night, and you will be full of cow manure from top to bottom, and I've done my share of being out with the cattle, and there's nothing I enjoy more than being with my cows.
Yeah, there you go.
But the one part I was addressing there was, is this a disappearing way of life?
It is. Right now, cattle business is tough. Right now, we don't have any feed. So people are having to scale back their herds. As far as the family rancher, yes, it is, because there isn't enough money. My husband's an accredited farm manager and an accredited rural appraiser and also a real estate broker, and we have to basically supplement our ranching income to be able to ranch, because there just isn't the margin in it. It's the cost of inputs are just incredible. They have increased dramatically. You know, and that's another thing. People come into the board chambers and tell me, I don't know what it is to run a business. Yes. I spend my weekends paying bills, and then I show up on a Tuesday morning and people tell me, you don't know, when I've just written a check for $109,000 for fertilizer for hayfields, or a check for $46,000 for power for 1 month for center pivots. So if anybody understands, and the other thing, point I want to make, we had at least 6 employees at different times come down with COVID. We had to quarantine time and time again. We were
even way out in a rural area.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
This is mostly in our. It was mostly in our processing facility, meat cutters, because they're in closer proximity.
Oh, okay.
But the point is that if anybody understood what a struggle it is for a business to keep going, it was us. And we were an essential business. We had to produce meat so people had something to eat.
You know, I often wonder, is there some sort of form or some sort of opportunity to for people to get together from various opposing views, mm-hmm. and really kind of learn about things instead of fight about things. And we don't have enough of that.
You know, I'm a firm believer, and I've made comments to this effect at the board meetings, is it's really important that right now, especially during the drought, this incredibly difficult fire season, the pandemic, a lot of our homeless and drug issues, we need to come together as a community, and that's all I want. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent. You know, I really don't care. I don't look at local politics as partisan politics. Mm-hmm. It really isn't an issue for me, and I just don't think it should be important. I think we need to come together as a community. If we're going to survive this, if we're going to prosper, and if our businesses are going to do well, we need to come together. And that was a point I tried to make over and over again, is that if a business wanted to stay viable and not have problems with COVID, they needed to follow the guidelines to keep their employees healthy. It's in their best interest.
Economically, and you would hope compassionately as well.
Well, exactly.
You'd hope people care.
Well, and how many employees would go home and give it to grandma?
Exactly.
And see, that's my point, because we experienced the same thing. We had one employee, he hardly had any, he was pretty asymptomatic, didn't realize he'd given it to another employee who got deathly ill. We had one in the hospital, and these are people in their 40s. But the young guy, his parents both got it from him, and he thought he was going to lose his mother, and he was in tears. The stress and the anxiety from having COVID hit as an outbreak in your business or your family is really difficult.
It's hard. And when you go into the funerals,
yes,
you know, yeah, I just got to interject real quick, folks. No, and people know I'm a democratic socialist. They call me a Comrade Christian. I'm not out to knock on your doors to ask you about if you need help getting a vaccine. I'm not there to collect your guns. I'm not there to collect your Bibles. You people need to knock that stuff off. Stop listening to the echo media chamber that you're listening to, because it's really it could get to the point where it's really kind of starting to kill people. Literally, if we let something like this pandemic get away again like it did in the past, come on, folks, this is once again, this is preventable. This is not about, are you a Republican? In fact, even Mitch McConnell was on TV the other day going, you need to take your vaccines. Well, yeah, come on. And so you can't use that as a tool to divide us, RWBM. Stop it.
Well, and I listen to Fox on occasion, and Sean Hannity the other day was talking about, I believe in the vaccine. There's a lot of conservative people that believe in the vaccine. I know a lot of people.
Hannity said he believed it, and then Tucker Carlson said he didn't.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Tucker Carlson, I listen to Tucker. I've read his book. And there are things I agree with him about, but there are things that I don't necessarily agree. But I listen, you know, my husband sometimes likes to, we're on the road quite a bit, he likes to listen to NPR. I like to listen to all viewpoints, because I don't want to have a closed mind. I want to have an open mind, and I want to hear, I may not agree with things, but the point is, it's not, we got to find, not that I'm using your, maybe your show, but we've got to find common ground,
yeah.
Because that's what will have this community thrive, that will make our businesses thrive. And that was the point I kept trying to make. If we stay healthy, we can continue to be prosperous.
Yeah, and maybe live.
So it's been a couple of meetings at least since we installed the new decorum rules. How's that working out?
I think it's a little better. It was a little rowdy. We had a couple of sensitive subjects that people got a little outspoken. It was a little rowdy last time. It's still a struggle. It's still a struggle. It's, you know, and a lot of people say we want to have night meetings. Well, it's since 1850, Board of Supervisors have met on Tuesday mornings every up and down the state. It's not like it's something we can just randomly decide. So anyway, there's so much information that people are not aware of.
Yeah. And once again, as far as I can tell, the Board of Supervisors have been very lenient. Listen, if a bunch of long-haired, what are we called? Antifa came into the board meeting and was doing, or people of color, mm-hmm. or Native Americans, or black, or whatever. You think that would be put up with? No, absolutely not. Those sheriff's deputies would have had those people out in no time.
I ran across a notation doing some research for this that they used to have 10 or maybe 20 deputies in there.
Wow. That I've never heard of that. When I was chair, and I was chair in 2020, mm-hmm. The maximum Sheriff McGreeny and I ever talked about was to have 2. So that is misinformation, and I've seen that also, and that is totally false.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned. Now, I
ran across it somewhere. I'm not sure. Just been doing some research.
No, that's just okay. Not true.
Mary, just I know you don't want to dive deep on this, because and I understand it, but What am I as a progressive supposed to think when we have a Shasta County sheriff posting racist minds on, you know, and seeing some pretty weird stuff? And you know, if
she
I was
may
a person,
not have seen that story, I don't know.
I saw it after the fact.
I mean, if I was a person of color, what, should I be concerned if somebody pulled me over who? I mean, come on. So listen, we're not about.
I was
about,
not aware of that at the time of the appointment.
We're not here saying defund the police. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
We need the strong law enforcement, and we are in the process of Tuesday deciding how we're going to move forward. We want to move forward as rapidly as possible. We cannot have a special election, and so we can appoint, or we can basically open it up and interview. But and you know. Speaking of Sean Hannity, the other day I remember him saying this. He said, "We need to have law and order. Mm-hmm. Without law and order, we cannot have prosperity." And Sean Hannity said that, and that really resonated with me. And so that's something that I am really, really promoting, is someone that's willing to come in and to be fair, treat everyone equally, and just. Let's get things kind of straightened out
from
here.
This
is for the new sheriff position?
Yes.
For all officers on the front line. Mm-hmm. Listen, I mean, officers have a tough job, one of the most
sure.
toughest jobs you could ever have. Yep. However, I mean, an RV did an article that just was, it made me sick when I had to read it.
Which one was that?
The one where right down the street. A gentleman was in handcuffs. He was laying on his stomach, and he was getting beat.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
He got the you-know-what beat out of him and ended up dying in the hospital relatively. There was no, hey.
He was on a multitude of different drugs.
That's okay. He was handcuffed.
They didn't handle it well.
You know, we need to figure. So is there any plans for any kind of citizens monitoring of law enforcement?
Well, as we talked previous to the show, for years with my work on the Mental Health Board and then involved with NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, I worked with NAMI for crisis intervention training, and I really think we need to ramp that up, and I think we do need to emphasize that, I'm not having to do it. I'm not being judgmental, but I'm just saying that we need to understand that sometimes people that are on drugs or in a mental health crisis, there are ways that you can de-escalate.
Yes.
And I think that's important. That training really needs to be re-emphasized, and we really need to focus
on
that.
And in fact, doesn't Hill Country have a contract where they send out a clinician if available in
yes.
a crisis situation?
Yes, we have a new CRT crisis.
Yes. That saves lives.
It saves lives. And it saves money. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again. If people would just listen,
yeah.
What I'm trying to do with mental health and drug addiction in this county is to save money
mm-hmm.
and to save lives. It's a two-prong benefit.
And it costs more if the you have to fix the broken person.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And you have a repeat offender. If you remember right before the pandemic, and I will give Eric Magrini credit for this, he and I worked on getting medically assisted treatment program in the jail.
Mm-hmm.
We got it up and going. The pandemic hit. They had to disband it because we had to take in all these prisoners. The governor was releasing. So I was bitterly disappointed about that. We still have the jail bed capacity treatment program where we can locally basically restore people to be able to stand trial locally so we can get them treatment quicker. Mm-hmm. See, if they have to sit in Shasta County Jail for 6 or 9 months before they can get into a hospital or a facility to mm-hmm. restore to competency, it costs us more money.
Absolutely.
And so we're saving money by doing these programs. And I'm going to say that over and over and over again. We're saving money by doing this.
And we need to figure out how to augment that and grow that philosophy.
That's
we just
right.
really need to. And a lot of conservatives are going to go, well, if they just didn't, you know, well, what difference does that make? Mm-hmm. What we're dealing with is right here and now. It's not, you know, what happened in the past. We very well may be dealing with a mental health issue that has migrated into serious DSM-4 diagnosis that mm-hmm. started out with drug abuse. Yes.
That's right.
There's no question about that. So what?
We got to deal with the facts and the situation right in front of us.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, RV, we're getting close.
What's the deal with the phone calls?
Well, I'm not too sure.
That's okay. We can keep talking.
So, I understand the
Let me read that phone number one more time for you listeners out there. 530-605-4567. You have 9 minutes to get a word in with Supervisor Rickert.
I know we want to stay local and we need to have you back to specifically say this is what I think we need to specifically do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this program in Salt Lake City or Arizona has
sure.
proven to be
right.
effective. But here's what I'm coming at here is that on the first anniversary of Representative whose name is escaping me right now. What I'm going to go into here is that what's your feeling on what's your feeling on let's go ahead and take the call.
Sure.
We're going to do that. Jared, do we got a call on the line?
We have Randy on the line.
Randy, how you doing, man?
Hey, good. How you guys?
Good.
Hey, Mary.
Yes.
I think that you're on, are you on the Shasta County, like a transportation board?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, Shasta Regional Transportation Agency.
Do you have any updates on any planning to expand our electric charging grid? I've been driving a Leaf for a couple of years, and anyway, I'm really interested in getting some charging stations.
Randy, it's funny you should say that. I had a story at my last CERTA board meeting, and some of you might find this amusing. So about 6 weeks ago, I came out of Mass. I go to Mass in Fall River Valley at our little mission church. There's about 20 of us that go regularly. And there was a gentleman standing by a Tesla, and it was a very mm-hmm. high-end Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of looked at me. This is Saturday at 5:30 in the afternoon, and he walks up to me, and he says, is there a charging station? And he has kind of – he's probably East Indian, has a little accent. And I thought, well, he's not local. He didn't look local because everybody knows everybody in Fall River Valley. And I said, I really tried not to laugh. I said, no. But anyway, so I called one of our great guys, Juan Venegas, who works with us on one of our ranches. And I said, Juan, can you meet me at the shop? This guy said he had 10 miles left on his Tesla. There's no charging stations in Fall River Valley. So we went over to the shop, and he had 10 miles. So we're down to 5 miles by the time we get to the shop. And we pull out our welder and we try and plug him in, and it's very slow charging him. And so finally we have a log cabin on the ranch. And so we ended up putting he and his wife, 3 kids and his mother-in-law up for the night. And they finally charged into where the dryer outlet. We got another. So anyway, we got the man charged and he left. He was a doctor from.
What can we do, Mary, to.
So there's citizens. An example, but
yeah.
That's my point. Where
well, so what can we do
right.
to get more
thank
stations?
Thank you very much for that. That's encouraging.
Yes, and so I brought it up one more time to CERTA and said, especially, you know, we need not just locally in town, but in our rural areas because we have so many tourists.
Yes.
Here he was, a physician from Sacramento area. He had no clue. He's not used to going places that just don't have charging stations. So I did bring that up, Randy, and I'm hoping that we can get some traction with it.
Is there anything we can do to help you
now
with that?
Yes. Please email CERTA, Shasta Regional Transportation Agency, that we do need to address that issue more aggressively.
Yeah, because there's new gas stations going up. We just don't see very many charging stations.
And I have two of my adult children have Teslas, and they one lives locally, but my daughter lives in Hollister, and when they come up in their pickup because they when they go up to MacArthur, they know that
once you get off I-5,
once you get up. Yeah.
Charging station.
Yeah, they just come up in their pickup.
What are we down to? 5 minutes? Mary,
4 minutes.
Is there any kind of final thing you would like to leave us with here?
Yes. In RV, you and I talked about this prior to the went on air. Our last board meeting, I just wanted to say we approved the fiscal budget for 21-22. And I thought it was very interesting. I think the audience needs to hear this. One of the things that we're being recalled for is our ineffective handling of county funding.
Alleged ineffective.
Okay. Sorry. That was what they say. Oh, thank you for that. But we had our budget. We had a preliminary discussion earlier in a meeting earlier in June. And so people knew that they could come and do public comment for 3 minutes. And so this was the finalization of that budget. It ended up being a 4-1 vote. Patrick Jones voted against the budget. But Joe Comandi, as our chair, opened the public hearing, and he asked for public comment. Now, Alyssa McEwen, who is the leader of the recall, was in the audience. We did not have one comment. She did not come forward. No one came forward. They have had a CPA come in and meet with a CFO. They've had Alyssa's come in and meet with our CFO. They've had the opportunity for one full year to evaluate, analyze, pick through our county budget, and there was not one comment. So I am going to assume that they didn't have a complaint, and it is on public record. It is this, and this is the time to step forward and cite what your complaints are.
They're lying is the problem. It's part of their big lie. It's like they just like the sound of it. The fiscal mismanagement, and like you said, they had a chance to prove it. Where are they? They didn't prove it.
It was crickets.
Yes, that's right. Let me ask you this question. On John Lewis's 1-year anniversary of leaving the earth, he was a proponent for voting. He wants America to vote. He wants people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
We went to how many wars? We've lost how many thousands of lives protecting that right to vote. The majority of United States citizens, when asked, support the Voting Rights Act. Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, I think I'm a conservative, so I think that you have to, be able to prove your ID. I think that's important,
and that's in that act.
It is important.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer not to get into national politics because it gets a little too partisan. But I am a conservative. Let's just say that.
Yeah. But even conservatives feel it's important to vote.
Absolutely, it's important.
And that's why a majority of conservatives also supported that act.
Well, we're fortunate to live in California, where voting is
guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
If you take advantage.
And for the record, you know, Shasta County has a huge number of absent people vote. You know, absentee ballot. My husband and I always fill them out at home because it's just a lot easier to do it that way.
Well, Supervisor Rickert, you've been a fantastic guest. It's been a really nice hour with you. We got to wrap it up now.
Well, thank
you. I sure appreciate you coming down all the way from MacArthur.
I actually am down here. No. I'm closer. I'm on the road a lot. But I want to say I've been on Carl Bott's show, and I've been on several times on his show, and so
Will you come back?
I will come back, but I just want to make it clear, I represent
Everybody.
Everybody.
Understood. Well, thank you, folks. We're another hour of Common Ground Radio.
And we'll